when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
It's the best soccer show live on a Sunday night. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois of the world famous Ontario Rhodiuses. Or Rhodii?
Rhodii. I'm like a CIA, like undercover. Like, this is like the Americans. I don't want people to know where I'm at. Undisclosed location.
I don't think you have it in you to ever pull off serious espionage. I don't think you're that guy. Are you that guy?
That's what I want you to think.
So, okay, I see. So, and by the way, that's always the thing, right? These movies make these spies look all cool and suave, James Bond. But really, you want the most boring-ass person in the world to be a spy, right? Because no one will notice that person. So what you just said, Mr. Dubois, about yourself is that you're boring and not noticeable in any particular way. You don't stand out.
These days.
Well,
the 40s haven't been kind to your boy.
No, well, you know, we're working it through. We are. We're here. We're doing fine. I was going to say, like, I guess if you were going to do some espionage, would you then start a podcast? Would that be, is that like a good way to cover for your espionage or?
Man, you know, it depends on what the subject matter was. You want to be something that was super boring. Like a podcast on bundt cakes.
Okay, sure.
I was expecting a guy that talks about bundt cakes.
Well, I don't know, man. Look, baking is really hot right now. So you probably get a lot of attention from a bundt cake podcast. What would that be called, by the way?
Like cake and bundt?
Button on the Ritz? No, that doesn't tear. That's a terrible pun. I got to think of a good bundt cake pun now.
Kicking bundt.
Kicking bundt. Okay, that's good. That's not bad. You're right. Kicking bunt,
I like big bunts, and I can't lie.
That's why you're the Rhodius. There it is, right there.
Jay Rhodius.
Why bunt cake?
I don't know. Just what came into my head. I can't explain how all this works.
Do you even know what bunt cake? Like, I don't even know. I guess it's the one where you like put it in a form, right?
It's the one that looks like a butt. Like it's got a hole in the middle of it, dude.
Well, yeah, but that's not. How does that make it look like a
butt? It's a bunt hole.
It's a bung hole.
Bunt hole.
It's a bunt hole.
It's got a bunt hole.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, like, the bunt hole surfers would be a good name for your bunt cake podcast.
That's not bad.
Okay.
That's not bad.
All right. I'm getting into this. I'm feeling it now.
Now you get it.
Now I get it. We've got a lot to talk about on this show tonight, soccer-wise, including things happening over in Europe with all the Americans. There's a brand... Okay, Jared, I'm going to have to do it. We just started off on a pun... run there because you were talking about bunt cakes. Apparently,
a pun run.
Schalke themselves did it, and I'm not sure if I'm on board. Now, amongst the two of us, you are much more of a Star Wars nerd than I am. I am
You're not even on the. You're not on the scale.
I don't even know what a Hoth is. I can't tell you about the what are the. I don't know. The Ewoks are awesome. That's my opinion, if you want to be honest about it. I mean, I think the Ewoks are amazing, and there should be more Ewoks in Star Wars properties. I'm just saying.
Jesus.
But Schalke, after Matthew Hoppe, who, 19-year-old teenager at Schalke, I'll admit, hadn't really noticed him, didn't know he was really there, doing a bunch of stuff. May have heard his name, but not really thought about him.
If you had told me last week, I would have said hoppy is how you describe a beer.
Yes, I would say that if it's a hoppy beer, I don't really, if it's hoppy, I don't want it. Hoppy? Don't
about
too much.
Like something hoppy in Germany, I'm thinking it's a lager.
Okay, sure. Well, Matthew Hoppe scored 3 goals in... In a Bundesliga game, the first American to score a hat trick in the Bundesliga. First of all,
Christian Pulisic, not Gio Reyna, not even back in the day like Ronaldo or anything like that.
No,
not Taylor Twellman at 1860.
How many games did Taylor Twellman get at 1860 though?
Not sure.
Well, maybe as many as Matthew Hoppe's gotten at Schalke.
You know who else it isn't? You know who else didn't do it?
Who else?
Josh Sargent.
We didn't even make it. Look, it's 5 minutes into the show, dude. Like,
damn,
we're talking German scores.
But it's not necessary. We will get there. Okay, so just hold on. swallow whatever it is you're drinking. Think about Big Bunts for a second and just gotcha. Breathe. Matthew Hoppe scores 3 goals in a Bundesliga game. First ever American to do that. He's 19 years old. He's from Oberlinde, California, which apparently is right. Basically, you could go and knock on his parents' door, apparently. I don't know.
Well, that's also where Alex Morgan's from, by the way. Okay. She's Diamond Bar. Actually, she might die, but they're very close together, those two. But technically, if Matthew Hoppe wanted to, he could borderline claim Inland Empire.
I don't know what the lines are. Like, I don't know.
I'm letting you know. He's east of Kellogg Hill, but he's like technically in Orange County, but like it's really close. He could claim or Inland. So I might claim him as Inland Empire.
Are we gonna let that fly? I mean, I think we have to put this to the people. Like, okay, what if he's not? If he's not Inland Empire,
you're gonna get him on your radio show and ask him.
Yeah. You found out. You learned.
Well, by this time, I've heard it enough.
I have a radio show, and you know that. Okay, I'm stunned here. Matthew Hoppe, 3 goals, Yorba-Linda, California. If he's not from the Inland Empire, then what is that area?
It's Orange County. I mean, he's technically in Orange County, but it's by Chino Hills.
What I know about Orange County is a lot of MAGA hats and mega churches. Is that right?
Yeah, and No Doubt.
No Doubt, the band No Doubt. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. All right. Those are, you know, that's one good thing.
I mean, they have great beaches. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, they got good beaches. Great beaches. Okay.
But so you have to wade through all the other stuff you just mentioned.
So you already did this, right? You already brought up the issue of Josh Sargent and his lack of goals in the Bundesliga. Now
first, can we give an old baby to Matthew Hoppe on that left-footed chip? I think he's left-footed anyway.
You're only going to identify. Only one of those goals gets an old baby? Because I
think it's the most O baby-ish of the three. Okay. I mean, that finish was a very nice finish. And that's the kind of finish. That was his first goal. The beautiful left-footed chip over the keeper at an angle. That's the one that gives you the confidence to go on and score
more. You know what I liked about that goal? Again, learning about Matthew Hoppe, learning that he's from maybe the Inland Empire, possibly foreign, whatever, Orange County, whatever. Schalke's bad, right? We know Schalke's bad. And I don't know what happened to Hoffenheim in that game. And everybody's like, oh my God, is Hoffenheim on the take? So what happened? Schalke had not won in 30 games, 3-0 games until that victory, and led by Matthew Hoppe in the 3 goals. It was on a break, right? It was on a counterattack. And he made the right run. He played the line. He got in off the back shoulder. He beat the keeper, right? And I'm not saying that makes him a superstar in the making, or that what he did was so unique a talent. Like, this is not Erling Haaland, but that is clearly something that I want to see the U.S. men's national team do more of. And although I don't know that Greg Berhalter is necessarily going to build his team around that idea, if you have that player and he's available, man. Yeah.
I don't want to over-sensationalize the kid on one game, but you're naturally going to like make some conclusions or draw make some predictions about what you see. I mean, he's going to shoot to the top of the limelight in U.S. soccer fans, because there's obviously a needed forward, someone needed to play forward on this national team. What I like about his game, and you know, one of my issues with Josh Sargent has always been, I don't know that his game translates as well to the Pulisic and Reyna kind of 4-3-3 lineup. When you watched Matthew Hoppe, one game, okay? There's a lot to go on here.
Yeah.
He's running the channels and stretching the back line. He's calling his shot. If you watch on two of the goals or the goal and one of the ones he hit that he barely missed, he's pointing where he wants the ball into the channel. He's telling the midfielder where he wants the ball to play it through for him.
Yeah.
And the third goal, and by the way, same guy created all three of them. I can't remember what the gentleman's name that created him on Schalke, but fantastic creation and fantastic chemistry between those two players. He read the runs perfectly, and then Hoppe made great runs into the spaces of Hoffenheim. That's the kind of forward that I want to see, and that's one of the reasons why I said I liked Akinola more than DK when we were talking about the two of them, because I really feel like Pulisic, Reyna, McKennie, they're going to want these players that are running these channels, trying to find these runs in behind the defense. And that's what he did. And that's what instantly sets a light bulb off to me when I think of the national team.
Okay. But that doesn't mean, at least as I hope it doesn't mean, and by the way, this is what I meant by the pun. We didn't even get there. That Schalke on their social media put a picture up of Matthew Hoppe and put a new Hoppe, a new Hope.
I was more distressed to find out they call them their fans Shockers. like Shockers.
No, you don't have to do it. Everybody knows what you're talking about. No, I didn't understand
calling yourself that before. That was another thing. But once it becomes another thing, that's a weird thing to call yourself.
There's okay. Well, look, you can't defer to that and say, well, we have to run scared because, you know, some frat boys came up with this thing that they do in photographs. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. But what do you think of a new hoppy, a new hope, effectively?
Listen, I think that's exactly what social media people get paid to do. There's no more 2021 social media post than the one you just said right there.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of those people just get paid to make the best pun possible and then do a list once a year of like top three something.
So, look, obviously he is 19.
Cash a check.
He's 19. He's a teenager. That means he's also eligible age-wise for the Olympic team. Remember, no U-20 World Cup this year. So where would you put him in the – I mean, he's got one game. And by the way, I saw this stat too. He apparently has been, you know, he's got 5 Bundesliga appearances. He's never played more minutes in a single game than he did in this one, obviously, when he scores a hat trick. He has played largely with Schalke 2. He had 1 goal in 16 games with Schalke 2.
Okay.
In the lower divisions of German football. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. Because I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
I'll tell you one thing. It means that Schalke is desperate. 30 games winless, that's they're willing to try something different. And credit to the kid. The kid comes in, steps up when he's getting a shot, and puts in 3 goals and 3 well-taken goals. And here's what I expect from Matthew Hoppe. I expect him to get a ton of minutes because if you're Hoffenheim, you have the first good thing that's happened in, what, a season
Schalke,
and a half?
Schalke.
Sorry, Schalke. If you're Schalke, you've got first good thing. You've got media attention for the first time. He's the Bundesliga player of the match day across the whole league. Mm-hmm. This kid's going to get minutes. They got nothing else, dude.
No, you're right. You're right. Same thing,
Weston McKennie got minutes, too.
Sure. Let's come back to the idea of where he fits into the national team striker pool. And you just outlined why you like him, his at least what you saw in one game, scoring 3 goals. Yeah. I mean, you know, he could obviously have a...
I'm not saying you're starting him for a World Cup qualifier tomorrow, but you bring him in.
Okay,
you bring him in.
All right.
Because here's the thing: we brought in a few other people that were playing in lower leagues or not starting for Eredivisie, second division, French teams. Kids starting in the Bundesliga.
Okay,
I think you bring him in.
He's not. When you say starting, I think that implies consistency. Let's wait and see exactly what goes down with his minutes before we start saying he's starting in the Bundesliga. Now, for some context on that 1 goal in 16 matches for Schalke 2, Harry here adding in on the live stream that he wasn't playing forward for Schalke 2. Now, again, don't know enough about him to be like, okay, well, he was, you know, what is his skill set? Why wasn't he playing? I mean, I could see, obviously, from the way he plays that you could push him out wide if you wanted to. I'm guessing that's where he was playing. Maybe not in the center forward position, maybe not as close to goal, and maybe that's the factor here. I don't know.
It looked like he was playing the center to me.
No, not in this game. I'm talking about Schalke 2. Like, wherever he played for Schalke 2, that obviously is going to have an impact on how many goals he scores, right? So this is Harry's point, that if his goal numbers don't seem impressive from his time with Schalke 2, well, then that might be because he wasn't playing forward. So, I don't know.
And here's the thing he's working against him as well. Now, every 6'2", 32-year-old defender in the Bundesliga with sharp elbows now knows who the kid is. Like, he's going to get put on his butt now.
This is another thing I thought, okay? I'm tagging in Steve here. This is a thought I had too. Like, oh my God, do we have to watch Schalke now? Like, is that a thing,
no,
American soccer?
You just watch Schalke highlights now.
You just look, is Hoppe in the game? Did he score a goal? Go back and watch the highlights. You don't have to do that. I'm not going to commit to that.
Once again, it brings up the app that I swear someone needs to create. All I want is the app that alerts me when an American is going into a game. That's all I want. I just want an app that says, like, a Yank is about to start a game.
Man,
that's all I want.
You know, that does seem like something the best soccer show should brand and put out into the world. Do we have any coders out there
just
who want to get
alert? There's no other thing it does for you.
Yeah,
it doesn't give you any stats. It doesn't give you any recaps. None of that stuff. It's super lazy. But
you know what? All you have to do
at 6:30 in the morning, I know whether or not it's worth it for me to get out of bed.
All you have to do is crawl Twitter You just like it pulls from Twitter. People are no. I'm saying not you. I'm saying the app goes and find you know search terms. Matthew Hoppe, Schalke, Giovanni Reyna, like whatever it is. Is he starting? Is he coming into the game? And then you said it pings you from there. Like whatever this app is, it pings.
The app
you.
Is just called Play America. All it is there's American playing. Yes or no. And if there is, it gives you a nice little text banner alert. That's all I want.
Okay,
man.
That's all we need.
And it's becoming important now, dude. Because literally, a guy that we'd never heard of just crawled out of the woodwork and scored 3 goals in the Bundesliga last week.
Harry,
it's happening all the time.
Harry again has some information here that you think is important, and there is the FOTMOB. However you say
that's
it,
a thing. I can't even say that.
FOTMOB. Yeah. It's an app.
Play America's way better.
No. The name may be for you, but what I was going to say about Harry's tip here is, and it's true, you have to build out your players you want to follow. You have to build out your teams. You just wanted to do all that work for you.
Do they have an American citizenship, yes or no? That's all I want. A simple flag. They're French. Don't wake me up.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You obviously wouldn't put them on the app, you would have, but you don't want to do that work. You're so lazy. You're so wrapped up in your cleaning your pool.
The only thing I want to flag is, do I want to flag dual nationals? Yes or no? That's the only flag of the thing I want to know.
Actually, that is like, you have to make a choice there, right?
There's a lot of banner alerts then.
So if Ayo Akinola is tagged, I mean, right now he's not in Europe or anything, but
I wanted to be able to say, do I want flag dual nationals? Yes or no? And what leagues I want to flag? Because I'm not trying to get an alert because someone's playing in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, I see. That's a good point. So you want to be able to filter for the quality of the league, and you want to be able to opt in on dual nationals because you might.
Yes.
So the Musas of the world, who else is on the list right now as a dual national we're chasing, we're trying to keep. I mean, obviously, I mentioned
that I do want to watch.
Yes, in Europe right now. Is there anybody else? Balogun?
Yeah, I
mean, is Balogun?
Yeah, the guy from Arsenal, Dan Balogun. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look at the top of my head. I'm not sure.
So Reyna. Let me come all the way back around to what we were talking about at the very start with Matthew Hoppe scoring 3 goals in the Bundesliga and ask you where you put him now. And I know we look. I got it. I got like I both barrels on Twitter.
I would give a shot for the Olympic team for sure. He's under 23. He's 19 years old and he's getting some.
Well, this is the funny thing though. Here's the funny thing, right? So I'm sure that Jason Kreis and Greg Berhalter and everybody in New York's U.S. soccer is keeping an eye on Matthew Hoppe. And they were probably watching his progress at Schalke, checking in on him, all the stuff that you're supposed to do. He breaks out with a 3-goal game, a hat trick in the Bundesliga. Suddenly now he might be more interesting to American fans who want to see him in that Olympic team, but less available to Jason Kreis to call up because Schalke definitely isn't going to let him go to the qualifying campaign if they need him to score goals when they're trying to struggle through.
But that's true for every European under 23 player right now. Gio Reyna ain't coming.
He's in that zone where he's not a proven commodity. He's not Gio Reyna. He's not a superstar in the making. You might want him on the Olympic team, but because he scored 3 goals in the Bundesliga in this game that they hadn't.
The advantage that Matthew Hoppe has for the full national team that other players like Daryl Dike and Ayo Akinola have against them, MLS may not start playing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for guys like Matthew Hoppe, he might get a shot. And he doesn't even realize it right now because it's Josh Sargent, him, and a couple other dudes that when you take those guys
give me your top five right now. U.S. national team forward starting a game at the Azteca. I made a joke on Twitter. After he scored the first goal, I said start him at the Azteca. And then he scored 2 more. So you tell
me. Starting at the Azteca.
Starting at the Azteca against Mexico. Give me your top five.
Josie Altor.
Okay.
Jesse Zardes.
Okay. Listen to how hard you're trying to avoid Josh Sargent's name right now.
You asked me to actually rank them. I thought you want just 5 names. I'll give you 5 names.
No. I do want them in order. I want you to give me your pecking order, right? Your depth chart for the national team's center forward.
I'm going to say Jordan Morse next.
God.
I'm going to say Ayo Akinola.
Over Josh Sargent.
I liked what I saw from him better than what I see when Josh Sargent's with the national team. Then I would go Josh Sargent, and then I would go Daryl Dike.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
What's wrong with my list?
Ayo Akinola hasn't done anything to the point where I don't think you can justify putting him clearly over Josh Sargent. Now, if it's at your list, that's your list. Okay.
Do you want to compare how many goals they got this season? That's something I can easily do.
And this is what happened on Twitter, right? Matthew Hoppe scores a couple of goals. And I got people in my mentions because Jared Dubois has carved out this. He's gaslit an entire community of soccer fans into believing that I think Josh Sargent should start for the national team no matter how many goals he scores, which is never what I said.
Jason, I love Josh Davis.
I simply said I would not rate Terrence Boyd's 5 goals in a third division in Austria.
No, 19 goals, by the way.
Okay. In what league again? What league?
The third division of Bundesliga.
The third division in Germany. The 19 goals that Terrence Boyd, I would not rate those over Josh Sargent. I know it's only 1 goal in the league. I get it. He's not scoring goals. Tim Weah is not a number 9. Not for me. Not now. He may be 5-3.
I think he's more of a slasher outside. Okay, give me your 5. Fence sitter. Okay. Mr. Fence sitter always making me answer these questions.
No, you can throw it back at me 100%. If you want mine, I think mine is Jossie Zardes. What did you say?
The number 1 Josh Sargent.
No. Jossie Zardes, Jozy Altidore, Josh Sargent. After that, yeah, it gets tough.
That's where I'm at. That's what I was actually thinking. Maybe Jordan Morris, to be honest with you.
It might be. It could be. I mean, I don't think you really want to do that if you don't have to.
I don't want to. No, not at all.
No. Senior level player scoring goals right now. I mean, it could be a DK or an Akinola, but they haven't even really gotten their feet wet in the national team yet. So, and Akinola hasn't declared for the United States. So we're going to put in our top 5 a player who might play for Canada. Like, that's wild. I don't think that's what we should be doing.
Wait, we're doing that with Yunus Musah.
No, that's true. Well, if you put together your starting lineup, is Yunus Musah in it based on what you saw in November? Okay.
Yes, yeah, so we both said that he was back in the day. Did you
change
on that?
I think you're right. Now, the difference is Yunus Musah is playing in one of the best leagues in the world. And Ayo Akinola is still a young MLS forward who, you know, got time during a COVID season. Like, I don't even know what that means.
That's a fair argument to make. But the difference is they play different positions where the U.S. is at a dearth at one of them.
Yes. Okay. That's fair. Okay. I mean, again, Matthew Hoppe doing things. Weston McKennie injured after 16 minutes for Juventus against Sassuolo.
I think it's just a small muscular injury, man.
I hope so. Like, let's all pray to the God
of trotted off the field.
Soccer injuries.
And right after he did that, really, you know, I'm not sure if you saw the play that he had one really good play in the first 18 minutes before he was subbed, where he basically kind of sombreroed, did a second little tap up in the air, controlled it, backheeled it into the path. I think it wasn't Dybala. I can't remember who was in the path of who put it right off the just over the bar. Fantastic.
Oh,
movement.
Yeah. No, he's out there saucing all over the place. It's
very
it's
much so. But
wild.
I think it was that if I'm just making a pure speculation, when you have to do that sombrero move and do that really high kick where his foot's up at his chest level, your hamstring sometimes goes a bit or he tweaks a bit. But I mean, he didn't have to get carted off or anything like that. So maybe a week or two, that's what I'm guessing, with some kind of hamstring, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not too worried about it.
You're not a doctor? Doctor.
The only thing I'd be worried about is that someone like Ramsey or Dybala comes in and takes the position.
Well, yeah, he could get Wally pipped. He could have his spot taken, so to speak. But I think Andrea...
Wait, what'd you say? Wally pipped?
Oh, my God. You don't know who Wally Pipp is or was?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
All right. Fine. Look, you can call me an old person or whatever, baseball nerd.
Is this like Tom Brady, where he was the backup guy and he got the job or something?
Sort of.
Matt Cassel?
So this is a very, very long time ago. You know who Lou Gehrig was, right?
Yeah, he got sick.
Okay. Do you know what else Lou Gehrig did besides get sick?
Yeah, he was a Yankees player.
He was a Yankee, right? So the guy who had the job as the first baseman for the New York Yankees before Lou Gehrig was named Wally Pipp. He gets injured. Young, talented Lou Gehrig gets a start, and then they called him the Iron Man or whatever it was, or Iron Horse, can't remember which one it was, and he played, you know, thousands of games in a row, and it was and never missed a game after that until he got sick.
So Captain, still your girl.
Sure, if the girl is the position, then yes, I guess that's the way exactly. What? I don't, what? Okay.
Is that dude that swoops in and steals your girl? Like, you go to the bathroom, you're like buying drinks for this
Well, I'm just going to say something. So, do you know this girl? Or you're macking on the girl? Oh, okay. Because I'm going to say, if somebody can swoop in and steal your girl, she wasn't your girl. She was never your girl.
True. That's true.
And you know what? She gets to make her own choices. So maybe just walk yourself on home and take care of your business.
So are you worried about Weston McKennie? Maybe he has to take 2 weeks off. Are you worried? Is Juventus? Isn't some scratch team with some scrubs on the bench?
I'm not. I'm not mad at all. I mean, I'm not worried at all. And I'm not worried because I think what Pirlo likes about McKennie is not something that they have otherwise in that roster. it's a lot of different things. I mean, obviously he's got some skill. He flashed
duct
it
tape.
In that game against Sassuolo, but also his energy is incredible. Yeah. I mean, his activity, his it's not just work. You know how we talk a lot about, and I know you value a guy who runs a lot. Like, that's a thing that we do, right? And soccer does that, but also American soccer. He really put in a shift. That guy covered 12 miles today. Like, yeah, that's great. But if you're not effective with that amount of work, well, then you shouldn't be in the lineup.
But you know who appreciates something like that? A guy named Pirlo, who needed guys around him to run their asses off, so he didn't have to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Andrea Pirlo recognizes that guy although McKennie's been playing all over the place. It's not like he's just sitting in the middle doing a ton of work.
Left for on the left side of the front three today.
Yeah. I mean, what is, are we now back to that?
He's played the left side, he's played the right side, he's played all three midfield positions.
Yeah, I would call him an advanced midfielder, not necessarily an attacking midfielder, because I don't think they want to play through him. But he is such an interesting threat, making those late runs, just kind of being around, energy, recoveries, balls in the air. Like, he's just...
Like, literally, if we go rewind the clock 5 months,
mm-hmm.
and we said, Weston McKennie is going to get transferred to Juve on a loan.
Yeah.
He's going to become a starter... No, not at defensive midfielder. He's going to become a starter at forward over Dybala and Aaron Ramsey. Like, how crazy would you look at me if I had said that? If that was my crazy prediction that I put in a few months ago, you'd want to cart me off the insane asylum. It's crazy what's happening with this guy.
Yeah, I definitely would not have ever expected that to be the case.
Who knows what Matthew Hoppe's going to be? Right. I mean, literally, stuff's just happening in the American soccerverse. Crazy things are happening in the American soccerverse. Weird transfers are being rumored at this point.
I just realized we're sitting here talking about McKennie in this game where he played 16 minutes and got hurt and came out, but we haven't talked to one another. We haven't done a show since he scored midweek as a forward in that game against Milan, against AC Milan, the leading team in Serie A right now.
Yeah, I think it was the last goal of the three, right?
Like that. And we're not talking about some majestic banger of a goal. It wasn't.
Still, he is constantly producing for Pirlo, and every time he shows faith in him, he comes back with something. I would almost say that Weston McKennie is not by stretches the most talented or technical player on that staff, but for Pirlo, McKennie may be talismanic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the guy that every time you trust has pulled something off for you. And Pirlo's been under fire too. Juventus has been down to seventh. I think last I saw they were in fifth. I'm not sure where they were after today's game. But the more he has relied on him, the better the team has done.
Yeah, look, there's a good point from Jeremiah in the comments that, you know, and this speaks to McKennie's adaptability, his multifaceted skill set, right? That when Juventus has the ball, he presses forward, and now he's another body in the box. He's an agent of chaos. That's what Weston McKennie's job is. Now, when Juventus has the ball, he's an agent of chaos in the forward line. When they don't have the ball, he's an agent of chaos deeper trying to recover, right? He's pressing as an eight. Maybe he's pressing high, but he's still not, he's not the most forward player at that point. You've got Ronaldo just kind of ambling about. So he's got those jobs on both end of the field, both ends of a possession for Juve, and he's really good at both of them. So there we go.
Nicky Supasasha just came with the stats. Juve's in fourth right now, seven points behind AC Milan.
Yeah. So there's work to do for Juve. And again, we hope that Weston McKennie is completely healthy very, very quickly. I mean, we've already kind of been burned with hamstrings with Christian Pulisic and his situation and everything else been going on with him. Now Pulisic was back, did play in the FA Cup. Chelsea rolled. Not really sure it's even worth talking about in terms of Americans.
Like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was there. He did a job in Chelsea. Now, there's a bigger picture thing with Chelsea and whether or not Lampard's in trouble and what it might mean for Pulisic. I don't think it would be a problem. I mean, I don't think it's good for Chelsea, and that would obviously be bad for Pulisic on some level. But he's not. It's not like he's going to – if he's healthy, it's not like he's going to be bumped and he's not going to get playing time or he's not going to get starts. He would be there.
He just may have to justify his starts more than he has with Lampard, because Lampard's had his faith restored many times with him. Like, he's paid him back for having that faith in him. A new coach, it depends what system they want to run. In a 4-4-2, is Christian Pulisic a starter? I don't know. In 4-3-3? Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, well, Sean,
I'm not sure.
Sean says that Chelsea fans are starting to clamor for Callum Hudson-Odoi over Pulisic.
Yeah, which they always want the young sexy.
Yeah, look, I mean, and fans do that, right? Fans get, they get, especially when the form isn't what you want it to be, or you can't seem to get points off the big clubs, you're going to get that criticism. Everybody's going to get be a target. Everybody's got to get some, right? So, I don't know. I think it's probably going to be okay for Christian Pulisic at Chelsea. Was there any other Americans abroad that stood out for you this week?
Not that stood out. I mean, Giorena went for 90 minutes, but nothing really to speak of there. It was more the Erling Haaland show than anything else. So, not necessarily, no.
And we're okay, right? At this point, no worries about Giovanni Reyna, considering the position he plays and the age he is. That he's sort of
they haven't announced their head coach yet, the new head coach.
That is still hanging out there for Dortmund. But I was going to say, it's like, if this was Boy Meets World, Erling Haaland is the what's his name? What's the kid's name on that show?
The main guy, Corey?
Yeah, Corey. He's the Corey, and then Giovanni Reyna would be the kid with the floppy Topanga? Hair.
Oh, okay.
But Topanga? Well, I guess maybe he would be Topanga.
They're kind of a couple these days.
Yeah. He would be Topanga.
I think Gio Reyna's in a better position than Jadon Sancho, to be honest with you. I think he's done more this season so far than Jadon Sancho.
Jadon Sancho's the little brother on that show that nobody pays attention to. That's who Jadon Sancho is right now. Okay. I don't know. I'm just stretching this analogy out. I'm just trying to see where we can go with this. I watched a little bit of that show. It's not like that's like my main go-to. I just
watched when Topanga was on.
I was trying to find Topanga or Winnie Cooper. It's right there.
It's more age appropriate if you say Winnie Cooper. And to be honest with you, it is Winnie Cooper.
Because she was the first. She was there.
Danica McKellar's my speed. I don't know what to tell you, man. Because she's still on like Hallmark movies. The only Hallmark movies I'm watching with my wife are the ones that have Danica McKellar in them.
He's got that math degree and she's running around doing Hallmark movies?
Yes.
Why is that? What is that about?
Because you can make a lot more money like acting like you're in love with a dude than crunching numbers.
Okay. I how about this one? This is slightly different. I don't know where you fell on this. Poison. Winnie Cooper or Joey Potter?
Man, I was a big Joey Potter.
Yeah, I was but huge. I was a huge Joey here's Potter fan.
Joey Potter is dead to me. Dead to me.
No, but it's real life. Forget the real life stuff.
Joey Potter is dead to me. You know why?
Why?
She chose Pacey, not Dawson.
Oh, I don't even remember.
I'm a Dawson. I'm not a Pacey.
I don't even remember, man.
So I'm going Winnie Cooper.
My wife, and everybody knows that my wife is Puerto Rican, all right? And not that they didn't have Dawson's Creek in Puerto Rico when she was growing up, but it's obviously a different cultural connection to stuff, right? And I don't think she ever watched the show. And so, like, a couple weeks ago, I walk into a room and she's got Netflix on and she's watching Dawson's Creek, the very, very first episode of Dawson's Creek, and I'm like, why are we doing this?
Wait.
And then I sit down and I watch some of this show, and I'm like,
wait, here's the question: Has Nick ever seen an episode of Dawson's Creek?
Good question.
Don't let him answer.
Okay,
yes or no, Jason?
I'm gonna say yes. It's TV, not movies. I think so.
Nick,
I will say that I have not watched a full episode of Dawson's Creek, but I will say, as a caveat, it was recent. My wife is not watching the series.
Okay. I think we might have discussed this at one point.
For the longest time, I would watch her like start episodes and I'd be like, wait a minute. Something's not right about this show. Netflix did not buy the rights to the Paula Cole song.
Yeah.
It's a different intro.
Yeah. I forgot about that. It's weird.
That's like the Bosom Buddies thing where they did, like, it was originally a Billy Joel song and then it isn't in the reruns.
I think we've talked about this. I don't think it's a Billy Joel song. We talked about
it. It originally was a Billy Joel song.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the thing about. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Real quick. Katie Holmes from Dirty Toledo.
Dirty Toledo, Ohio.
That's right.
Katie Holmes.
The pride of Toledo.
All right. So you're still holding out. You're still mad about the Pacey thing. Freddie says that his wife is yelling at both of us because the whole show was setting up to have her be with Pacey.
How's that so? She was like literally with like who's Dawson's love in episode one, his long lost love. It was supposed to be the childhood
By the way,
coming together.
I'm just going to say this, and I don't know if you've watched it recently, I'm watching it with my wife. The song thing was weird. It's like Dawson's Creek in one of the parallel universes something.
Dawson's a pissy little bitch.
Oh my God, he sucks. I hate him. I hate him so much.
You want to punch him.
Why are you like this, Dawson? Who made you like this, Dawson? Why are you such a... Okay. That's not here nor there. We're not necessarily needing... We don't need to go into all of this. Okay. So we've talked Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic a little bit.
We talked about the fact that Americans are in vogue. And you know how I know Americans are in vogue?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone told me that Julian Araujo might be going to Tottenham.
Wait, hold on a second. Okay. I want to get to what I'm going to call the transfer zone in a couple minutes. Before we do that, not out of obligation, because it is part of what's going on in the world of soccer in the United States, I do want to mention, I don't even think you care at all about this. You just want, start the season and then you'll start watching.
LAFC? No, I don't care.
No, not that. That Major League Soccer, after they executed the force majeure clause that allows them to get out of their CBA that they negotiated with the players last year, came back with an offer. And the offer is, you don't have to take a pay cut, but we want this agreement to last two more seasons past the original expiration day. So
here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Was this their goal the whole time?
Was this Major League Soccer's goal when they executed the force majeure?
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
So it was never about this season. It wasn't about making money back next season. It was about getting a longer contract on this CBA.
Yeah, sure. It was leveraging their ability to get out of the deal now so that they can make money on the back end. And it's all about timing, Jared. This is like setting yourself up, right? Like, you know how Martha Stewart got busted for insider trading and the woman who was running for Georgia Senate was like selling, like doing all kinds of crazy stock stuff when COVID hit, all of that. Whatever she did, insider trade. This is like, if you have the information and you know something's going to happen, like, oh, that the CEO is going to retire at such and such a date and the stock price is going to change. This is Major League Soccer setting themselves up so that when the new TV deal comes together, because it happens in 2022, and then the World Cup, this would take them past the World Cup with this CBA. Yeah. So this is essentially saying, we don't want you to be able to leverage any of that as players and ask us for more cash because, no, the deal's still in place.
At the same time, though, this – I know – I get that, and what everything you said right there is true, and I think that's a good move by the owners. The players may not be in a terrible position with that because negotiating after the World Cup means you get to take these potential success of really high-profile Americans and roll that into something, because what else is happening in 2026 in the United States?
No. Not the 2022 World Cup, Jared. The 2026 World Cup.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, then never mind that. I'm sorry.
This is the owners getting the ability to hold on to these prices. They want to lock in these prices and not have to pay the premium prices that are going to come when the United States puts a World Cup on in 2026.
I'd strike.
Now, the thing about the timing also is that the players now might not be the players in a couple years. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
If you're a player, you just went through the COVID chaos.
But who signs a 6-year contract at anything now?
That's a good question. You don't do that because you lock yourself in. Now, it's certainty. Look, I would be happy to have a 6-year contract at my job. I don't have one of those. It's going to be a weird 2021.
When you see the amount of moves happening out of MLS right now, and you still don't have true free agency.
Well, no. Hold on. What do you mean by true free? I just want to make sure I understand. What do you mean by true free agency?
When you don't have to go through a process at the end of the season where you clear these different kind of waivers and there's all these different little
indicators
that's
not how it works.
You have to meet.
You
have to be in the league a certain amount of time.
Yeah, but that's every American sport has those rules in place. You have to
you're a free agent when you get out of your contract. You have to be over 25.
No. That's not how it works. No.
In basketball, you can leave after your contract.
You still have to reach certain, you can't just.
You can't get paid the max.
Well, that, okay.
You can move.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, so
I'm talking about rights.
Well, no, but that's limit. Okay. So in the NBA, they limit what you can make on your contract. Yes. You might be a restricted free agent as well in some cases. They have restricted free agency in other sports. In Major League Soccer, okay, you're capped on what you can make, and you have to reach 24-5, which, by the way, those aren't insane numbers. 24-5. Those aren't insane numbers.
No, but you've got Americans. Look what they're doing in 24 years overseas right now.
No, I got you. I know what you're saying.
Like, an American, what we have not seen yet is an American that is left on their own accord at the end of their contract and taking a big payday to Europe or anything like that. we don't see that. Wait, it's almost always transfers.
You're saying that that MLS players haven't waited out their contract and then signed abroad?
Yeah.
Sure they have.
Why the name the last one you remember?
Stuart Holden did it. It's a while ago. Stuart Holden did it.
Okay. It's a long time ago, right?
Sure, but what
Americans
there's
have
nothing
never been
stuff-
hotter and more valuable than they are right now.
Okay.
And they don't have as much control over their movement as I'm sure they would want. And now we want them to wait till 2026?
I think it's kind of wild to suggest that just because some talented Americans are making waves in Europe now that, you know, some guy's going to like wait out his contract
in
MLS.
Aaron Long, dude. That dude's gotten screwed.
Okay. Okay. I mean, so what are you saying?
I think they strike.
For what?
I don't know.
What do they strike for?
2020 is a long time away, dude.
What do they strike for?
I think they strike to not extend the 2 years. I think you want another bargaining before the World Cup. That's ridiculous. Before the 2026 World Cup, where it's being hosted in the United States, and how much money is going to be pumped into this soccer economy in this country. And it's all connected. U.S. soccer, MLS, this is all connected in the United States.
Yeah.
Like SUM, you're going to want a piece of this big ass pie.
No, I'm with you. I am. I'm with you. I think
if you want to, I say they strike and they try for a one.
But again, 1 year. I'm gonna say this again, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you're right, but you're thinking about it as somebody who's going to. First of all, you are a neutral. You can't put yourself in the player's shoes and what their money looks like and their family and everything else. There's that, right? It's not your job that's being threatened or your paycheck that's being threatened. Second of all, you have the luxury of thinking long term because you are going to be a fan. You're going to be connected to this league. Nothing's going to change for you. Some of these players aren't going to be in MLS by the time this deal runs out. So they might say, you know what, screw it. I'll trade 2 years for full money now. Because what the league's not saying is that you have to take a pay cut in 2021. Because that was originally the thought. Just like the last time around, they're going to make you pay a force majeure. We're chopping 10% off your salaries, take it or leave it. They didn't do that. So right now you can get your full money. You might lose out on something in 5 years, but guess what? A lot of these guys ain't going to be here in 5 years. So they can sell out their future.
But the people that are doing these negotiations aren't these young kids or stuff like that. It's going to be the veterans and the lawyers.
Yeah, and the veterans are the ones who are going to retire or leave.
If you look at the Jeff Laurentiwitzes of this world who are in these positions, look, do you really think that they're not looking out for the guys younger
than
them?
There are smart and there are guys that are smart that take care of their people that are in it for the whole thing. Kumbaya, we're all one.
And the agents of these players are going to be the agents in this league, even whether it's not these players or not.
I just don't think there's going to be an appetite for it.
I think you threaten to strike just because 1 year,
just
1 year extension. They settle for a 1 year extension.
This might be look, MLS throws out two, the league comes back with one. And the league, and then
I think that's the best of both worlds right there.
That's right. The MLS throws out two, the players come back with one, and then that's the compromise. You don't put your best offer on the table, right? Or you don't put the offer you would take on the table first, right? You go for everything you can. You take a big swing. Major League Soccer, maybe they're doing that. Maybe that's what it is. They have 30 days to negotiate something, or either we could just continue negotiating and they could try to get ready for the season. The other thing is, Jared, is this going to delay
the
season?
They'll delay the negotiations. They're not going to stop the season, I don't think.
Well, but they're going to delay the season because of COVID. That's what it looks like.
I think that's a good choice.
You think that's the... Well, no, I'm just saying, like, there's going to be some delay.
The question is, do you elongate the season or do you compact it? Like, what's the option? Let's say they push the season 2 months.
They're going to end up in December again.
Are you going to push the season into late December?
It's not going to be late December. They're going to play MLS Cup in the second week of December again, just like they used to. Just like they always did before they tried to change it because of the international window. So that's where we are. All right. I mean...
So are you push it to January then?
No, they're not going to do that. I don't think...
So you have to super compact the season again.
If you want to play a full 34-game set, absolutely.
Remember how many injuries we had this season? That was ridiculous.
I agree. It's going to be wild. Okay. All right. Let's move to that topic that you wanted to broach. The thing that made everybody kind of go, what? Julian Araujo's a very talented player. Don't get me wrong. And you've talked about him a lot. And you like him as a Galaxy player. But I think we're still in that mode of, well,
the first place y'all heard about him was from me.
That's not. Are you serious? You're breaking Galaxy? You were the first one.
I'm just saying, for the average non-Galaxy fan, they probably heard it from me first.
Okay.
I let them know.
Like how you draw,
kid.
You like carve out that
kid.
You carve out that caveat. It's like when you. It's like if you were, you were on a band first. You were on a band locally,
yes.
And everybody loved
and
them locally.
Hate them once they sign a contract,
but then you go to you travel to Florida on vacation, and you meet some person. You're like, oh yeah, this band is really dope. You should listen to them. And then later on, you take credit For like discovering that band, even though everybody
absolutely.
Back at home.
I have no scruples when it comes to this.
Julian Araujo to Tottenham Hotspur, Mr. Dubois. What?
Man.
What? What? What?
I mean, I'm a little bit, okay, first of all, super cool. Awesome to see. A little bit out of left field. And I'm a little bit still snake bit from when DeAndre Yedlin went there after his World Cup. You know, unfortunately, and I can't remember the gentleman's name now, the right back that's been playing there forever, that he beat out for the job. He beat out Yedlin for the job. I'm forgetting off the top of my head right now. But a big club like that, part of me still has an old school American. It's just like, man, is Julian Araujo really going to start, or is he going to get loaned out? And I think the talk was around $5 million for Julian Araujo, a defender, right back. I can't remember where I was, 3.5.
I mean, you could throw numbers out. You could throw clubs. At this point,
Kyle Walker.
We are at a spot now. Isn't Kyle Walker a left back? Maybe you're right. We're at a spot now. I'm not watching much Spurs these days. Or at all, for that matter, where you could pick any player, I would say under the age of 23 in Major League Soccer, who is a fairly regular player for their MLS team. You could pick a player. You could go and like spin a big wheel on the top five leagues in Europe, right? So England, Spain, a little bit less likely, but still. Bundesliga, Serie A now Italy. With Wes McKennie and Brian Reynolds. You could spin a wheel and land on one of those clubs and then pick a number between 1 and 5 million or $2 and $8 million. And I might believe it. I might be like, oh yeah, that's where we're at with Americans now. It's just like that.
We had a segment about 2 months ago or so where we played a game trying to guess transfer values of young American players. And it looks like the default starting position now is $5 million. It looks nice. Even for a defender, $5 million. Like I said, I think Reggie Cannon was 3.5 he went for, but he's over that age group we're talking about right now.
I just got this mental image of Don Garber. Phone rings on Don Garber's desk in New York. Because, I mean, you know, single entity league still. Hello? Yes, this is Spurs calling from London. We'd like to talk to you about Julian Araujo. I don't even answer the phone for less than $5 million. Click. Like, just like that.
Have five on it.
That's got to be what it is, right? You can't even talk to them about an American player if you don't got $5 million on the table. That's where we're at with that. I mean, I guess we could talk about this. Is Julian Araujo ready for anything remote? I mean, we didn't think Brian Reynolds was, by the way, and he might be going to Benevento on loan or whatever, but come on, like, this is where we're at now.
I think he's, for Spurs, $5 million is nothing to them, right? Nothing to Spurs.
That's true to an extent.
They're taking a flyer on a potentially good bargain for them. Now, the question is, what's the Galaxy going to get on the back end on a movement or something like that? And Julian Araujo may be worth $5 million to the Galaxy still right now. They got nothing, dude. Like, he's one of the only things good that they have going for them.
Well, that's all the more reason to hold on to him, right?
But you also got to make up the money that you just threw down the toilet on Chicharito somewhere.
Are we going to do this plus minus thing? If an MLS
that's business, that's what they're supposed to do.
No, I understand that, but this is still Major League Soccer, right? And Uncle Phil was all happy to flush money down the drain for the first 15 years of the league, and then, you know, throw money out at every terrible public policy initiative around marriage in this country. He was happy to spend all this, and now suddenly it's like, oh, well, we gave Chicharito Hernandez $6 million. He didn't score a goal. We better make it back by selling Julian Araujo. I don't think that's the calculus in Major League Soccer, is it? Is it really?
I don't think the Galaxy are as free spending as they once were. I really don't.
That might be true.
That was good business.
That might be true. But I think I think it's wrong to think about MLS in that sort of ledger way, because I think the value in MLS was always the long game, right? You were always buying into Major League Soccer on the hope that your club becomes valuable. And now,
we've reached the long game though, Jason.
I know, this is what I'm saying. Regardless of what you make of Forbes or whatever, and who knows how much these teams are worth, and obviously expansion fees aren't the same as selling a club. We're going to see what RSL goes for example. Clubs are now worth $500 million, right? Phil Anschutz didn't spend $500 million on this club.
Phil Anschutz has made his money back by being early in the pyramid scheme.
Well, sure, you can look at it that way. Even if he didn't,
he did.
But even if he didn't make the money back through fees or whatever, which he probably has, the value of his club has also gone up dramatically, right? The Galaxy are worth way more than they were 15 years ago, or when Phil Anschutz bought into the league in 1996. So why would you have to sell Julian Araujo to make up for the money you spent on Chicharito Hernandez? Why? You don't have
because
to do that.
I don't think Phil Anschutz is in that place where he's just down to throw money at the sport anymore. I really
so
don't.
For you, this is not necessarily like, oh, we got to break even or the club is in trouble or you know, we're carrying too much debt. It's simply Phil Anschutz not liking the red ink. That's what you're saying.
Like the, I don't think Phil Anschutz even really involved anymore, to be
honest.
Okay,
fine. Then Beckham or Beckerman or Beckham.
Beckerman.
Joe Becker, whatever his name is. That guy sees the red ink and like, oh my God, we got to get rid of this red ink. That's what we're at?
I think so, man. I think so. I don't think the Galaxy are that team anymore. I really don't think they're that team anymore. I think other teams are more likely. I think Toronto's more likely to be that team than LA these days. I think there are
clubs that are more likely. By the way, this speaking of rumors, this is not about an American going over anywhere, but it does kind of fall under the MLS heading of rumors. The Caicedo to Atlanta rumor is a really interesting one, and I haven't tracked it over the weekend. I haven't been on top of it, but I was following it pretty closely last weekend. He plays in Ecuador. He's this talented young Ecuadorian player. Manchester United has eyes on him. West Ham has eyes on him. There's all these clubs that are interested. But it seems as though Atlanta is sort of right in there with the shout for this kid. And it's not about the money. He's not going to drive a $30 million fee or anything. But he is very much in demand. And it looks like Atlanta's got their swag back. Because Gabriel Heinze now can say, oh, yeah, you know me. Like, you know me. Like, I'm gonna make you...
Yeah.
That's.
Do you think a South American player wants to be able to play for Gabriel Heinze, or he wants to play for Ben Olsen?
Ben Olsen's not good.
Wherever Ben Olsen might be, I don't know where he's going to end up. You know, the people are saying Toronto's like, but just to go back to the Julian Araujo thing real quick, and I forgot about it until a couple people in the chat just said it. Galaxy screwed. They sold Felcher. They let him go.
Mm-hmm.
They let Ralph Felcher go, thinking Julian Araujo is the right back of the future. Now, if they let Araujo go.
Well, so maybe that's
why. They're in trouble.
So, again, I don't know the validity. Like, I don't know if this is like, ITK Spurs account from London, England, or if this is like.
But don't you wonder why Julian Araujo went home for the illness for the U.S. national
team? Now, I am here for this conspiracy part of this. Now,
they didn't say what illness. Listen, if it's COVID, cool, send him home. They didn't say it was COVID. What other kind of illness are you not better within a week?
So U.S. soccer, who are the two players? Ochoa, the goalkeeper, left, and Julian Araujo left. And yeah. I think Ochoa picked up an injury. And it does say ill. It just Illness. Says ill. No, it just says
maybe,
ill.
Maybe he's just licensed to ill,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he might be just. He's joining the Beastie Boys. He's licensed to ill. He can't be playing with the national team right now. But like, it didn't even say like, yeah, it didn't say ill. It didn't say COVID. It didn't say... He has the flu. He didn't, you know, I don't know. Like that is interesting. And you know, Brian Reynolds is still in camp as far as I'm aware, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be headed over to Italy at any moment. Like his transfer could go through. They could cash
Mark
in.
Mark McKenzie didn't go, and look where he's at right now. He's strolling through Ghent.
So you just brought up that the Galaxy are screwed on the right back situation because they let Felcher walk. And they might sell Araujo if they do that, because Araujo would be the right back of the future. What about FC Dallas? You developed a right back who was like one of the best in MLS. You sold him. Mm-hmm. Now you've got a second one coming in behind. He's played 15 games in the league or whatever it is, and you're about to cash in on him for an $8 million, $9 million bucks. What do you do?
I see FC Dallas as the Christmas tree salesman in A Christmas Story. You know when he goes over there and he's got that lot? He's like, how about this one right here? How about this right here? Yeah, you want this one. This is a great tree. He's got a ton of trees. Uh-huh. Dallas has got a ton of trees, and they'll sell every one of them.
Christmas was like 2 weeks ago.
Every one of them.
Doesn't matter. They want to clear the lot. They got to go.
The needles can be falling off. They're going to make a good sale on something, and they got another one behind them somewhere. Dallas always, if there's anything I've learned over the last 67 years, Dallas always has another player coming up behind him. And they are like the Dodgers in terms of they always have the young hotness in the farm team somewhere. There's a pitcher that is going to be sell for. They'll sell you a pitcher because they got another one in the farm team somewhere.
Okay.
You know, like Dallas is just like that right now. And they have this mystique about them. They have this flavor about them where I trust it. I don't know why, but I trust it.
Okay, so you think that they would be okay? I mean, on some level, maybe not.
I don't think they're going to win MLS Cup. I don't think they're going to win MLS Cup going forward because they keep selling their talent, but they're going to have money.
Right, man, that is
going to be financially viable.
It's got to be a weird place to be, right? Like the as a Dallas fan, less so as a Philly fan because they got the trophy this year, whatever that means in COVID 2020. But even Philadelphia, I mean, you Aaronson gets sold. McKenzie is now official.
Yep.
By the way,
yep.
Shout out, congratulations to Mark McKenzie, because this is a big move for him. I think he's going to kill it over there. And you know, 2 or 3 years, we're going to see him playing in the Bundesliga, probably something like that. Yeah. But if you're a Philly fan, I've seen some Philly fans. We got a lot of them that listen to the show, Morgan and Mike, and I'm missing Jimmy. Everybody's like, well, I guess that's okay. We're just going to be different next year. Like, is that
I equated to when someone, you knew it was going to happen. You've known forever it's going to happen. It's easier because you've known it's going to happen. I get
is that,
it. Here's the other thing.
Is that what it is? Like when your girlfriend goes back home after camp is over, is that what you're saying? Like,
I say your girlfriend went to camp and the letters coming back from camp weren't that great. And when she comes back, she tells you, oh, I met someone. And you're like, oh, that checks out. That checks out.
No, but they're your girlfriend's here and then your girlfriend's leaving. And now there's like, I don't know. The camp's not the same anymore.
She's going off to college. If she's going off to college and you're not, you should have a good idea what's going to happen in the
Whatever.
Next 6 months.
Long distance, it never works anyway. I'm not saying, okay. It's got to be an interesting dynamic. Like the headspace to be in as a Dallas fan, because unlike, and Dallas has competed for supporter shields and they've been in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're bad.
It's a testament to them. But you think if someone walked through the door with $7 million for Jesus Ferreira right now, they wouldn't sell him? He's
gone. Yeah, they would. They would sell him. Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. And they are, but and that's the thing. Like that's the mentality over there. So I think, you know, there are people in Philadelphia who are like, we want to make great players, and yeah, we'll sell them, but also we want to be good, and Philly demands that you're good. And then you talk about Dallas, and it's more like Dan Hunt saying, well, you know, my dad's legacy is to make American soccer better, and we don't really care if we win.
The bigger thing that Philly fans should be asking is, what are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with the money for these two players? You just brought in, what, $15 million or so with these two players, somewhere in that range? I can't remember what they ended up being.
I think it's
probably more like 12.
It's 6-6 or 6-5 or something like that, yeah.
So if you're going to bring that money in, what are you going to do with it? Like that. If I'm a Philly fan, I'm saying like, okay, what have you done for me lately? What are you going to spend this money on? I'm with you. You're producing something. We have something happening here. I believe in you. But if you're going to pocket it, then I'm not as
letters. IROCZ, IROC Z. You go out and buy an IROC Z, then you figure out whatever else you need to do. Cause then you look good. Now you got the car.
Yeah, and like a journey like tape.
A tape. It's gotta be a tape.
If it's an IROC,
it's gotta be
you can put this in IROC.
You can put a CD player.
You can, but that's not a new IROC.
You can't put a Bluetooth speaker in a.
If you have a CD player in an IROC, you bought that used, my friend, because those weren't around when that IROC came out.
All right. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to consider. There are a couple of things in the chat like I would love to get to. This is a. I don't know if you saw this rumor, Jared. This is a wild rumor. This is not about players. But Ben Olsen's name came up in connection with Sheffield Wednesday over there in England again. They're in the championship. I would love to see
it. If there was an American coach you were going to pick to make the move to the championship,
not him.
How far down MLS coaches do we have to go before you got the Ben Olsen?
It would not be him. It would not be him. I don't think so. No.
I'm shocked by that. What I'm really impressed by is whoever his agent is. Whoever his agent is needs to get a raise.
Yeah.
Just for getting that headline printed somewhere.
Just getting that in there. Well, he's on the bookie. Like, he's among the favorites for the bookies. Not the favorite. But that's where I saw the reference I saw was the bookies have Ben Olsen on decent odds to be the next Sheffield Wednesday manager. And I was like,
Chalice or something? Like what are they like? How far?
Random names out of a hat? Like, what did they do? Like, how did that? Now, he was over there for, where was he on loan? Where did he play?
Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. I'm not going to remember him from his time at Nottingham Forest.
That dude's hair was like 8 inches shorter. They're going to recognize that dude, but his chest hair is just as glorious as ever.
Since we're here on former Ben Olsen's former team, DC United, deserves a mention too. They still don't have a coach. They're still messing around with this long-ass list. They just threw a new name in the mix, a guy who's been in Germany and coached some in Europe. I have to go look and see where he was. At Leipzig.
And Ben Olsen's in the mix for Toronto.
He was at Leipzig. Well, he's been mentioned, but I don't know that that's real. But this kid, this coach, DC United, apparently been looking at, was at Leipzig when they were on their way up from the lower divisions.
Okay.
And now it looks like just yesterday, today, MLSsoccer.com posted posted an update. Alexander Zorniger is the name that was added to the pool. And Jason Levien says,
I approve of that name.
Alexander Zorniger? Because it sounds like Alexander. Oh, I thought you were
going to. Badass name.
Thought you were going to start.
Like, almost like the evil boss you play in a Nintendo game.
It does sound like a bad guy in an 80s movie. But I was going to say, it sounds also, you could sing it to Alexander Hamilton. It would totally work. It's the same number
of syllables. Alexander Zorniger.
You butchered it. Come on.
Well, first time I've heard it. I don't know.
Anyway, Jason Levien saying, the process has been long, and I apologize if some fans are restless about it, but we really want to make the right selection. We've done a lot of work to try to figure out exactly how we want to play, what our style of play is going to be, what that philosophy is going to be.
How many times has Chris Armas interviewed for that job?
Apparently, this is why this is wild to me, and I do have to go ahead and look at this story in depth because I haven't done it yet, but they apparently could not reach a deal with Chris Armas or with Gonzalo Pineda.
Jill Ellis.
So Jill Ellis apparently didn't really want the job anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could not get a deal done with a guy who got fired in New Jersey, who had never coached another team before that.
Wow, you call him New Jersey now. Wow, is that some shade you're throwing?
No, it's not. That's where they're based.
Okay, I'm just
did win a supporter shield, and I hate to put the... I like Chris Armas, but he did
win... Yeah, why would you put it in quotes? He did.
Because he did half the season was Jesse Marsh before he took over, okay? Just saying, okay? You have to give Jesse Marsh partial credit for that. And then and then you can't make a deal with a guy who's never been a head coach at all ever in Gonzalo Pineda. As much as he's respected and everybody likes the guy and he's a good assistant in Seattle... He doesn't. What leverage does that dude have? You couldn't reach a deal on any. Now, apparently, I think it's something to do with the staff for Pineda. Like maybe he wants his boys to be paid. He wants to carry his boys in, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. I look, if you like the coach, let him pick his staff. I don't like this idea of bringing in a coach and dropping him on top of a new staff. It doesn't make any sense to me.
If everything doesn't work out and they end up hiring Chris Armas now, how do you feel if you're Chris Armas? Do you have any confidence in running this team?
I don't think
if you interviewed four times and you can't get the job.
I think Chris Armas would be a disaster for DC, at least especially with the fans. I mean, come on. It just, I don't know. Like,
in the meantime, Toronto has some backfield either. I mean, LA Galaxy's filled finally with Greg Vanney. No. But those are the three big positions that were open, four if you count Atlanta. Two of them are closed now.
Mm-hmm.
You got two left to fill with, mm-hmm. what, 2 months? Well, mm-hmm. technically, it should mm-hmm. normally be 2 months till kickoff, but less than, probably more than that now. But maybe teams have longer than what they think to do this. Normally, you want this in place by now. So you can start.
Yeah, but the draft is, I mean, I know the draft's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's still coming up.
No, preseason arrangement. Also, the window's open right now. You think the coach would want some say in the players that are going to be brought in during this window?
Oh, definitely. I think that's absolutely part of this as well, which is, yeah, a major thing. All right. So in terms of transfers, I think that's the list, right? Am I missing any wild rumors? Is there anybody else? Is Caden Clark going to Bayern Munich or PSG or something? What's happening?
Not that I know of. But okay. the thing I'm more surprised about is I'm not hearing any talk about transfers coming in. Like normally, I mean, we're 10 days into January right now. There's no like crazy talk.
Not the names you would recognize from Europe, but there are definitely some.
Not like the past, which makes me wonder, is there a shift going to happen in MLS this season in the transfer market because A, COVID last year, I mean, I'm sure a lot of teams are running more in the red than what they thought. Are the purse strings tightening in MLS as players are being sold and teams are holding that money to make up for the losses? And we're not going to see that influx of talent, that European talent, that South American talent that we normally see in this window.
There's going to be some. I mentioned Caicedo, and I don't know if he's going to land in Atlanta. That is just one. There are other players linked to potential moves. I think Seattle's got their eyes on some names. I saw Orbelin Pineda has an offer. He's at Cruz Azul. He's got an offer
from Galaxy. Maybe bringing a West Brom keeper in named Jonathan Bond.
Jonathan Bond. He probably hates hearing that. Like, he probably wants to get out of England just so he doesn't have to hear people in a British accent. Oh, he's going to get Americans doing it now. That's probably way worse, right?
But
that's
definitely when you have shutouts, you should refer to him as double O's.
Okay, that's terrible. I'm going to veto all that. No. No.
I'm just jealous you didn't think
that was terrible. That was terrible. Montreal looks like they're going to change their name to CF Montreal. What do you think?
Oh, speaking of name changes, you know what we did not talk about?
What's that?
the Miami situation.
Oh, I forgot about the Miami situation. Well,
screw Montreal.
No, I know.
That noise elsewhere. That's just a lukewarm milk toast. Like no one cares about it. Change.
Okay, so the I don't know about the Miami name change. That's really going to happen. They'll probably work something out. Inter Milan's going to get paid, basically. Jorge Mas is going to write a big check. That's what's going to happen there. But David Beckham coming in and making it all about himself, and yeah. Apparently it was only because of COVID that he wasn't really hands-on in the first season, but now they're going to hire his boy Phil Neville. Come on, you know that's a time bomb. That's going to be horrific.
Okay, first of all, Phil Neville did very well with the English ladies. Very well, the English ladies. I'm not talking about the team.
In some way, on some level,
dog, he's no Ryan Giggs.
He did a decent job. He also stepped in it a number of times, put his foot in his mouth, said some really stupid things, basically disrespected the women player, the female players. I just think he's an ass. I just don't think
as a coach. Is there a problem bringing over an expected ladies coach to MLS side?
In a vacuum, in a situation where you don't have a coach and it's sort of a blank slate and who knows what the team is going to be, an unnamed team, I don't know that I would be against the idea of giving Phil Neville a shot. I do think, you know, there are probably better options. But at the same, in this case, particularly, I think it's bad that he's Beckham's boy. I think that kind of chumminess doesn't reflect well on Beckham. I think it says, I don't have an imagination. I can't go out and recruit somebody else. I have to go and tap my boy on the shoulder. And I think that's going to, I just don't like that. Think it's a good look. Okay,
unfortunately, that's the way it looks. But who's to say that he's not actually doing what he thinks is the right decision for the club?
I'm sure he convinced himself of that, or is convincing
himself. And it's a name. MLS teams can say that they have a name that
recognize. Miami doesn't need a name if that name is Phil Neville. This is the other thing. And I don't always buy into the idea of you have to match the city's character with your soccer team and your philosophy. But this is Miami. Like, they have so much reach into Latin America. And you're going to go get doofy-looking English dude Phil Neville to be your head coach? Really? I mean, forget how he looks. He just doesn't have any panache. He doesn't have... And Diego Alonso maybe wasn't the right guy. And maybe he was never going to be good in Miami anyway. But there have got to be other options. If Atlanta can go and swing and get Gabriel Heinze, then Miami's just whiffing on this, is I'm saying.
You could have brought in Herrera.
You could have thrown some money at Miguel Herrera. Absolutely.
Tell me you would want to see him in Miami.
I would love
Tell
to see
him. Tell me you
Miguel
wouldn't see him in Miami.
Herrera in Miami. That would be amazing. Yeah, 100%.
Phil Neville is the anti-Herrera.
In a lot of ways, sure.
Like, the guy's going to go to Miami, and in a place where you could rent Ferraris, he's going to rent a Ford Taurus. Like, Phil Neville is the Ford Taurus of players and coaches, because he gets the job done, but ain't flashy.
You don't know if he's going to get the job done, but no, he's definitely not flashy.
As a player. That's who he was as a player.
Could you imagine Phil Neville on South Beach? Like, can you even imagine that? What would that look like?
Oh, God. He'd have to have one of those big flappy hats because he would turn into a crisp with that piece.
He would have his nose zinked, like, with the stuff on it, right? The white, when I'm back in the day. People don't do that anymore, right?
If Phil Neville comes to Miami, I want the Fool's Rush in drop of the white people are melting.
We'll have to work on that. All right. That's it. I think we're out of time. I think we have to roll this thing together. Shout outs. First of all, Nikki Soup and Sausage, who did an incredible behind the scenes of his studio on our Patreon, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow, to learn all about how Nikki Soup and Sausage has, like, basically a radio station in his house. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it.
It's impressive. Like, I was always impressed by him, but now I really don't even understand.
Jared loved your rack. Nick, he loved it. Thought it was amazing. He was like, look at that rack on Nikki Soup and Sausage.
As I was saying, I was like, oh, that didn't sound good.
No, it's fine. Come on.
Impressive, Nick. Impressive.
Jared makes worse jokes than that to his you know, kids at the dinner table.
Well, like that recently.
Hopefully all the besties enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed watching yours, Jason.
I got to do a better one now. You've shown me up. I'm going to have to up my game. Like, that was what I did was, like, very basic. And I'm watching Nick like, this knob changes my timber for. And I'm like, what's happening? So we're going to do something better for that. I think there's some other bestie Patreon stuff I should probably mention. We've got the bonus show, of course, every week. If you want to listen to that. Oh, here's an excellent perk to highlight. Now, it is it's a bit rich, right? We have to have a top end. Like, we have to have the elite of the elite. Like, those people, the people who show up to the LAFC games now, the big rollers of LA, because they already said no Galaxy.
Wants to get to be in the pool? Wasn't there supposed to be a pool up there?
Yes, yeah. The Galaxy, that's an old, nobody goes to the Galaxy games anymore. A new hotness is LAFC. So the people who pay for the big tickets, the expensive seats at LAFC, it's like that. On our highest end on the Patreon, if you sign up for that monthly, you get behind-the-scenes access pre- and post-show. We got Jimmy right now watching us do this from behind. He's been hooked up since before the show. So he heard all of Jared's good jokes before he dropped all the bad ones on the air.
Yeah, he got to hear a lot about personal lives as well. He actually got to see your kid.
He did. He saw my kid. Not the new one, the old one. Yeah, there's a... Anyway. All right.
Damn, he's seen it before I did.
Yeah, it was just a happenstance.
You were late today, so
I was late.
You were busy. All right. Anything else? Am I missing something? I'm missing something. Old Dad FC is in the works. I got some stuff coming. My newborn kid.
Leave a rating and review, please.
Yes, ratings and reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, especially. Do we have any new ones? Have we checked? We probably didn't check, right?
We do.
Do you want to go ahead and give it to us before we get out of here? Check.
Yep. This one is from SEO Spider. This is from December 14th. He says, it is the best. Just discovered this podcast. Really enjoying the mix of U.S. men's national team and women's national team and MLS talk. Not to mention some pop culture talk that I can understand. U.S. soccer is on the cusp of finally making the big time, and this will be my go-to podcast as it all unfolds. Just so thank you for the review.
Just wait until I mix in sea shanty talk on the pop culture tip.
The thing I'm wondering right now, though, is for SEO Spider, was Dawson's Creek in his pop culture wheelhouse or not?
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you more of like the TikTok guys generation? I mean, obviously, if he's understanding our pop culture, I don't think we've ever said TikTok on this show until just now. So
maybe. It's on my phone.
Are you not watching? You're not scrolling up watching like people smoke meat?
You're not going to catch me doing any dances?
No, but, I realize
I'm an active digester of TikTok.
Okay. Really? All right. I'd be curious about your channels. Let me know about your channels. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I like watching other people dance.
Reviews. Yeah, only one of us can be a good dancer. That's the rule on this show. Reviews.
Oh, it's not me.
I know. I proudly claim that title. Patreon. Subscribe. Just, you know, let people know where we're at. The best soccer show is here. Again, reminder, the United States men's national team never missed a World Cup while the best soccer show was on the air. Now, the U.S. women don't need our help, but we're still going to talk about them because we love them that much. All right? Are we good? Anything
we're good.
Else? All right. Thank you to Nikki Soup and Sausage for all the work that he's done, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Oh, would you look at that? An absolute firecracker.
Duh, and or hello.
Stage is out.
The horror show.
Oh, and be caught dead in a sweater vest.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, it's incredible.
Get to the chopper.
Who asked those questions? Who asked those questions?
Oh, baby.
Yeah? So feel respect for the game.
I go fucking ass, go for scale.
Eddie. What have you done for me lately?
J. Rhodius.